Can we next have the Healthy Systems Group, group number 7? Yeah, all the groups, if you have slides that you'd like to show during your presentation, that's easy to arrange. And if you don't worry.
So, we had a very productive group. If given another half hour, I think we could have solved the Mideast peace crisis. Just kidding. We probably would require an hour for that. Okay, where is the slideshow? Oh, okay, I'll use this one over here. So, well, first of all, we have to define the how much wiggle room we have here, how much we can do in the existing systems of governance and health institutions. For instance, will a government allow us to, is a government even suited to change the rules of the game? Is it possible, for instance, for the federal government to actually change subsidy policies? Good question. Is it the state's mandate to even change obesity? One could imagine that in some sectors, the state has no role for obesity. It's a personal decision. So you can imagine that there's the solutions to the obesity problem are constrained in some way by the institutional framework of the country in which you're operating. For health systems, there's two types of interventions, of course. There's prevention and there's treatment. Education includes tobacco scare ads. Perhaps you can imagine having a picture of a diabetic amputation. Well, I'm not sure if that'll work, actually. The UK system of nutritional labeling has been imposed, having a system in which you have a red, yellow, and green light attached to each label, where red means bad, consume infrequently, yellow means in moderation, green means go ahead, have as much as you want. In the health system sphere, you can imagine there being some interventions to cover various forms of treatment. Both surgical treatments, and I'm thinking here of gastric banding and stomach volume reduction surgery for people who are morbidly obese. And of course, there's, as we discussed yesterday, there are the dopamine reception in the brain has a major effect on on impulse control. So maybe we can devise or encourage the development of pharmaceutical drugs and subsidize those drugs, which might have an impact on obesity. In the macro system, of course, there's lots of potential scope for intervention. It's not quite clear, again, if the institutions will allow this, but you can imagine there being changes to consumer prices. That is, what is the relative price of high fructose corn syrup drinks vis-a-vis milk? And those can be affected by taxes, subsidies, supply management policies. For instance, the reason that milk is so expensive in Canada is due in part to the fact that we have a supply management system which limits the amount that can be produced. We can also probably target producer input prices. So understand that corn producers have some subsidy here. There's some subsidies in the states for people who grow corn in some states. In India, we learned about this morning the changes to the price of palm oil, which has resulted in the palm oil being used in many different types of foods. Another possible avenue for intervention, of course, is the income policies, and there you can affect people's income directly vis-a-vis welfare payments or via income tax credits. And if you talk to Mr. Adam Drudowski, he would tell you that a major cause of obesity is poverty, that people who are poor you know, may not have a very long time horizon, or a planning horizon at least, and they maybe gravitate towards, you know, worrying about the current, not the future, and hence may, you know, try to fill caloric needs by using high, you know, caloric density foods. Then, of course, you have the regulatory policy, which includes, for instance, bans on the uses of some ingredients. We've seen New York State consider the use of bans on trans fats. There's been some discussion of nutritional labeling, which I guess would be a federal intervention in Canada. Pathways. Well, for the health pathway, the most obvious route would be to modify what is covered and what is not covered under the public provincial health care plans. Maybe in the states you have Medicare and Medicaid. Macro policy changes would have to occur through international trade agreements, as we saw in the case of tariffs that India levied on imports of palm oil from Malaysia. There's the issues of domestic industrial policy. You can obviously affect input subsidies by just changing the rules a bit. The supply management and quotas is another example of domestic industrial policy. And then there's, of course, the poverty and health interface. How do we deal with the poor? Do we use food stamps? Do we use food banks, school lunches, those kinds of things which are targeted towards the poor, but they may have an important effect on obesity. Nutritional labeling, we've already discussed. Data, there's a variety of different data sources that one could use to investigate the effectiveness of these policies. In Canada, we have the Canadian Community Health Survey and the National Population Health Survey. We have the Survey of Household Spending. We used to have a survey of family food spending, but that was canceled in 2001, which is a diary-based food consumption survey. Of course, you have the health care insurance claims data. So every province records information on the use of various health services which are publicly covered, including drugs. You have the Nielsen scanner data. So every time you go to a checkout and you scan your box of Fruit Loops, that gets recorded. You might be able to link that with information on loyalty programs to get some demographic information, perhaps, to get a sense of who's consuming what. And, of course, there's data on the existing political systems and legislation regulations. Models. Our colleague, Paul Thomasson, hope I got his name right. Thomasson, apologies. Was advocating what is called a computable general equilibrium model, which basically shows you what would happen if you muck around with one sector of the economy, if you change the demand or supply on one side of the economy by virtue of, for instance, an input tax credit or something. If you change the prices in one sector of the economy, how will that ripple through the other sectors, recognizing that the demands are all interrelated? If you tax Pepsi, for instance, you might reduce increased demand for Coke. So there's two markets there. Well, I guess they're all one big soft drink market, but then you think about, well, soft drinks, you have, what are competitors with soft drinks? You have these sports drinks, right? Gatorade. So if you muck around with soft drink markets, that might affect the demand for the sports drinks. Or if you affect those two, you might affect water or something. Anyways, these things allow you, in the same spirit of the models talked about yesterday, to trace out how all prices and incomes across all goods and services and all household incomes will be affected by changes and interventions in one sector of the economy. For health policy decision makers, we advocated the use of decision analytic models, which allows you to look at the expected outcomes associated with each course of action. Each course of action's outcome, of course, depends upon the many contingencies which you can build into your model. And then Paul Thomasson spoke of an optimizing model. We have no idea what that means, but it sounded like it's plausible, so we'll include that. It's just you speak with him directly about that one. Yeah. Perhaps he's not very confident in his model. He left. Yeah. He wasn't too confident enough to stick around. In terms of levels, well, you kind of, you know, when you produce a tax, a GST or PST or a subsidy, it kind of affects everybody. Yeah. So these things are sort of universal and countrywide. Now, that's not to say that there's not going to be individuals within the system who will be differentially affected by it, right? If you can imagine that, if you start lumping a tax on soda, like I personally don't drink soda, so it's not going to affect me in the slightest. But I suspect that in New York City or New York State, a lot of Hispanics enjoy their Coke. So that might have an effect on the welfare of subgroups of the society who are heavy users of the thing you might be taxing or subsidizing or affecting. So that our point here is to say that there could be important distributional effects that you may want to take into account. And that would be it.
So are there any questions?
One thing that was striking for me when you were looking at the policy with respect to the health system, in particular within the context of childhood obesity, the only thing that was put there is surgery and some drug to reduce impulse control. Could there be alternative...
To actually enhance impulse control.
Yeah, exactly. Could there be also some thinking to the fact that currently, even though chronic disease take up, 60-70% of all the health system budget, there are 3-7% that is devoted to prevention. So in terms of system-wide change within the health system, suggest strongly that we don't forget that prevention can be mainstream much more.
Well, we didn't actually... yeah, I guess it depends on how you define where the action would take place. I mean, we thought of using... We didn't think the healthcare system was a great place to have prevention. I'm not sure that was your question. I mean, I don't really think that doctors do a whole lot towards preventive activity. I think it's more further upstream actions that might affect prevention.
So in the spirit of this exercise, I think maybe one way to kind of take that one step further is think about, like, as a variable, you know, what that might be. It could be, like, allocation of health dollars, right, within a health system. And that could actually be a variable in a model, statistical or computational. And if you're looking at across regions or across countries, there would be a variation on that variable, and that might influence how your system behaves. So I think it would be helpful to think about how to turn some of these concepts into somewhat objective variables that can then be included in analysis or simulation.
I just wanted to point out, too, that I find it interesting that, we purposely picked to go all the way from the brain level all the way up to the top level. And I found it interesting that of the interventions that you came up with, many of them were actually targeted at variables identified at the brain level, even though they're operating through pathways that are macroeconomic or health system pathways. So I think that's an interesting point that these things really do span this entire...
Well, economics, and that's my disciplinary background, teaches that you, the individual decision maker, responds to their environment. So that, they're obviously responsible for lots of micro decisions, but they all respond to macro cues and prices and incomes.
Are there other questions or reactions?
Yeah. So your comment about public payments for prevention, I think, are very key. Family physicians can't bill for health promotion right now. I mean, it's only in the last... I'm talking about Quebec. It's only in the last 2 years we've been able to bill for smoking cessation sessions. And even then, it's only one a year. So, I mean, this has a... this is peanuts.
Any other questions?
Any other thoughts that come to your mind on how you know, these are really complicated issues, obviously. How do we turn these kinds of concepts, you know, into more specific indicators or links, if you will, between factors or between levels? Hajir? Use mic.
I think the first step is really just doing this brainstorming, yeah. But at the next step, probably if we had more time, it would be good to start thinking, okay, what are the connections between them in terms of causal relationships? And, of course, you need to turn them into some kind of variable so that you can say which one is going up and which one is coming down. But I think this is good raw material for that kind of exercise in many cases. But it's a lot of things happening.
Sure. So Shumi?
I just have a question. In Canada, does obesity consider to be a disease? Or you have to be severe obese in order to get a reimbursement from health insurance? Because I also have same similar question in the U.S. too. If it's a disease, then I think it certainly will be something to work on to convince the health insurance to cover obesity. So anything you do in terms of physical activity, dietary prevention, that kind of thing will be considered for coverage.
My understanding that it's not in the U.S., and I don't think it is in Canada. It's considered a risk factor for the time being, but there's a move towards reclassifying precisely for that purpose. Yeah. But there's a lot of other social implications as well once it becomes classified as such.
Yeah, it's also important to remember that we have a federated model for healthcare in Canada, so what's covered in one province may not be covered in another province. And even, if I'm not mistaken, even surgical intervention is covered in some provinces and not in others. There may not be support for even having a surgical intervention program. And I remember a news piece in Quebec, for example, where they covered surgical intervention for morbidly obese people, but then they didn't cover the plastic surgery that was required to take care of the excess skin after somebody, you know, had lost a couple hundred pounds. So, and that was actually quite debilitating for the individual who was involved. So there's a lot of variability. And, no, for the most part, I don't believe, and that's what Anne was, I think, saying, you're not, primary care physicians are not even reimbursed for counseling around nutrition or physical activity and that sort of thing.
I think effectively the government may have some coverage. They may subsidize it, but good luck trying to find a surgeon.
Yeah, that's also a problem.
Yeah, the supply constraints are difficult to overcome. That being said, Ontario will send people to Michigan to get their stomach stapling done.
Okay. I'm wondering whether your group had any discussions about looking at the obesity issue intersectorally from assistance perspective. So in BC, they need to look, each department needs to look at what they're doing in terms of helping people get active. So whether it's transportation, whether it's education, whether it's health, all of them have a role to play. So was there any discussion of that kind of, I guess it would be policy on the part of government to say, yes, each department needs to take note of that?
Well, certainly, we touched upon it. We didn't delve too deeply. I mean, maybe Antonio could speak more eloquently on this than I can, but, I mean, I think people, different departments have their own little mandates, right? The Department of Industry, Industry Canada has their mandate to protect industry. Health Canada has a mandate to promote health. There's often sometimes a conflict between those two things. So how do you reconcile, how do you get the departments to play ball or to realize the same objective is a different I guess, suspect a difficult question.
Well, requiring them to take a lens or have that lens on decisions they make?
Certainly. I mean, the issue is no more obvious than in the case of subsidies for farmers. I don't think it's as big a deal in Canada as it is, say, in Europe or United States, but discussions about obesity or even development issues, which I think are more germane in import quotas on foreign produced food. They affect a lot of dimensions, not just the welfare of the farmers.
I'd like to pursue a bit on this because I think it's an extremely important point. When we look at those join up or whole of government policy, which in prevention everybody kind of claims that we want to do and so on. But the bottom line is that if indeed from the non-health sector, their primary outcome, the primary indicator of performance is not about health, it's about profit for commerce, it's about performance for school, it's about whatever.
Absolutely.
I think that in understanding for a system that can really model the whole of society like this, you need to look at your health outcome as well as to look at the impact of the sector's ability of reaching what they do in life. So from a perspective of building a knowledge system that will be able to facilitate that type of trade-off that you need to make, and so on. I think that is critical to weave this this in thinking the system, because you will want to weave somewhere some your non-health indicator.
There's no question. That's a very important point. I mean, I've seen it within ministries of health. There's people who operate the drug budget, and there's people who operate the hospital budget, right? Well, people who are discharged from hospital earlier and earlier become reliant on the public sector drug plan earlier and earlier. So there's always cost shifting between departments, and they're always bickering each other about who's paying the bill.
Thank you.
All right.